closer.
Hi, everybody. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I am your loving host. I don't know what just happened. It's a long story, but I'm glad you're here. It is a Saturday podcast, the long one, and today's a little weird. You can probably tell that the sound's a little different because I'm sitting in a hotel in Anaheim, California. I'm in a Disneyland hotel, and I've just finished up having a talk with the people at Power Test, which is the big North American organization that looks at and understands electrical testing, electrical validation, reliability. A great conference, big fun. We had a joyous time, and everything was great. And it, well, so the quick answer is the computer that I do my podcast with completely fried itself. For whatever reason, and we could talk about reliability all day long, and it was backed up, so I feel pretty good, but the bottom line is, as reliable as you can be, everything's great until it's not, and I'm in a process where it's not. That's really neither here nor there. We can talk about it a bunch if you want to, but catch me on the side. The short answer is, I'm now going to record a podcast in a hotel room, which won't sound probably as professional as I normally do it, but it hardly matters. It's interesting. It's cold in California, frighteningly cold, too cold to be at Disneyland, if you know what I mean. But man, the kids are having a great time, and it's big fun. And so all is happy in the happiest place on earth, which worked perfectly. The story that I think is interesting is the challenge we had today was around the difference between why and how. And if you've seen me or read anything or thought about it, there's a really interesting challenge here. And that is, people see a why tree or five whys or asking why as opposed to asking how as a fundamental deal breaker. And yet I've really learned that why, although a great question, kind of a planning question, it's pretty blamey. And why almost always takes you to incentive, some kind of incentive and a consequence. So when you ask why, basically what's happening is that you're getting kind of the motivations inside the worker for why the worker did what they did. Now, I know some of you are going to tell me I use why differently, and I know you do. And I don't want to sound like why is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The problem is I actually think how is a better question than why. And the reason that I would think that is because how force functions you into the context of an event. Because you start looking conditionally at the latent conditions that exist within the event, and how is a question that makes you own that. Now, I'll grant you also, how can feel less blamey, because how it failed is different than why did it fail. How did you do it wrong is different than why did you do it wrong. But the soft side of this argument to the side, at least for a while, what how does is really causes your thinking, and probably even more importantly, the thinking of the people you're working with, to understand either a close call, a near miss, a near loss, an operational upset, a weak signal event. It force functions you into really looking at the context side of the equation. But even that, I think, isn't enough. The more you think about the difference between the question why and the question how, ownership becomes part of this discussion. Because the why is almost always owned by the worker. Production pressure really is felt by the worker. We've talked about pressure a bunch. In fact, you can tell workers to not be pressured, and they still will bring pressure with them into the actual process of doing the job. There's no question about that. Why is really owned by the operator, whereas the how question is almost always owned by the organization. So why did you overload the forklift? I wanted to be efficient. I was under production pressure. We needed those things really quickly. How did you overload the forklift? Well, I stacked one pallet on top of another pallet, which I normally never do, and I grabbed both pallets at the same time for one load, right? And what's interesting is that the why there, the motivation, that's going to be probably looked at and managed by actually fixing the operator. Whereas the how part of that is going to be looked at and managed by fixing the worker, which takes me to the very reason why I'm recording this podcast for you guys today. So Jeff White, and if you don't know Jeff White, you probably should. He's completely a wonderful human being. And I saw him give a presentation, and it was really great. I mean, not kind of great, because I see lots of great presentations. This one sort of stepped over the line into really great. And it's exciting to watch because Jeff has been a scholar of human performance in the New View his whole career. I mean, I don't know if he knew it was called that, but he's clearly got expertise that other people, I mean, he's just an advanced thinker in human performance. And I watched him give a presentation to a room full of operators, pretty big room too, couple, I don't know, 45 people maybe, but big room. And he put a picture up on the screen of a guy loading a 55-gallon drum into the back of a pickup. Just a normal picture. I mean, nothing. There weren't snakes. There weren't bees flying around him. It was a guy loading an empty 55 barrel into the back of a truck. And then he said, okay, this equated into an event. Here was the injury. If I remember correctly, it was a back injury or maybe a knee injury, but the worker was injured. He said, we're going to look at this picture two ways. And then he said, tell me how to fix the worker. And then the groups were at these small tables. They all got together and they discussed ways they could fix the worker. And then Jeff dutifully asked for them to give him feedback. And he listed those ways up on a flip chart. So we're going to retrain the worker. We're going to talk to them about lifting limits. We're going to put a lifting limit in. We're going to train workers on a better way to load barrels. They went all the way to potentially discipline, stand downs. They talked in great detail about how to fix the worker. And Jeff listed them up there like they were important, like it was something he wanted to capture. And then he paused, and he kind of took a breath, and then he said, erase your brain. Now what I want you to do is fix the system. Only the system, just fix the system. And the groups went back to their little tables, and they had another conversation. But it was so interesting, you guys, because this conversation had a different energy, and it moved in a much different direction. And after a while, sort of when the noise died down, Jeff said, all right, what'd you come up with? And you heard suggestions about Tommy lifts and smaller trash cans and liners in the trash can and docks and loading mechanisms and two-person crew. I mean, it was crazy how different the feedback was. And I'm watching this whole thing. I mean, I've seen a lot of classes. I've definitely seen a lot of classes on New View, and they're always great fun to watch. It's always fun to watch somebody teach it, too. I mean, I was having a great time. But I was blown away by how effective that exercise was. First of all, how easy that exercise is. Because, you know, my rule is that any activity you do in the classroom shouldn't require a lot of setup. It should be really good to teach too. So in other words, not ending a sentence in a preposition. I mean, the activity has to have a clear instructional goal and allows the opportunity to build learning and to actually have discussions around the activity. And three is it should be kind of fun. Man, this exercise that Jeff White did, it met all three of my tests. But more importantly, and I think this is the part that I care about the most, more importantly, is it was remarkable in its simplicity, but powerful in its impact. Because it was really clear to me from pretty much that moment on that every single person in that room really understood that there's a clear difference between fixing the person and fixing the system. And the powerful learning that they had that day was in the discussion and at the tables. It was in the way they sort of had a philosophical shift because of each other, but it was really well illustrated in the two flip charts in the front of the room. Because it was really obvious that one fix was quick, immediate, but not very sustainable. That would be the sheet of paper that said fix the person. And the other fix was actually easy, functional, and incredibly sustainable. That would be fix the system. And I walked out of there and thought about it, and I've thought about it a bunch. All of us should be doing it. If you're not teaching this, if you teach class, or if you're a supervisor or working with a team or helping shift some thinking around a leadership group, try this exercise. I'll bet you almost any picture will work. I've used, well, of course, I stole this from Jeff, and he should know. Thank you, Jeff. I've used lots of different photos. Oftentimes, I'll use photos that the site has. What's amazing about that, though, is I think that very comment threads right into the how and why discussion. Because in a way, why is a powerful preventive term. Asking why makes a huge difference when you're sort of predicting failure in the front end. Because you're really interested in operator motivation, what's the person thinking, and how is that thinking going to influence what the worker does, the worker mindset component. And why as a preventative tool, I think, is powerful. But it kind of leads you down the fix the worker side of the equation. Whereas how is a really good response question. Near miss, close call, good catch, actual event. How did this happen? How did we get to this point? How did these conditions exist? All those kind of questions. That leads you in a much different direction, both intellectually, the way you think, because remember, what you think is going to color what you find, but also in the data you collect to understand the event. The how is a much more systemic approach. It forces you into the context, and it actually leads you to sustainable solutions. And kinda, the reason we're here is to find those sustainable solutions. The problem with the new view, and you know this as well as I do, is you don't really leave with a list of things to do. Because we're not asking people to do things differently, although we're completely asking people to do things differently. What we're asking them to do is think about things differently. And because that thinking component, that philosophical shift, is really an internal maturity, it's an internal change, there aren't a lot of external things to do. And yet, the change is enormously important, hugely important. That's the how power. That's where how makes its money. That's the difference between a 5-why and a 5-how. Because how leads you down that path of sustainable system condition improvement that allows not an understanding of the last event, but actually some reinforcement and capacity for the next event. And that line is the line we want to cross. And it's funny, this conference, the Power Test 2017 in Disneyland, kind of made me think of Jeff White and his exercise and the difference between why and how. Because it's fun when you work with a group of people like this, and there were 500-600 people at this meeting, it's fun to watch them kind of change their thinking in mass like that by simply running them through a simple exercise with a lot of people. And that's what I got the chance to do today. And that was really, really fun. So there's kind of the podcast for today. It's a short one and a quick one, but that's all right. we're friends by now. We can sort of understand and spend some time with each other. I hope this helps. It's definitely something to think about, and it's definitely a huge part of sort of how we function and what we do and how we make change. Because it's hard in our business because there really isn't that list of 9 things to do to make an organization more reliable. You know, there's not that perfect list of leading indicators that they can go out and measure. We're really asking people to shift the way they think. Shifting from why to how is not a language problem. It's not semantics. It's a thinking solution. It's a philosophical shift. And that's where we are on this journey. Man, the podcasts are going great. I can't even thank you enough. If you get a chance, tell some people about it because that's always helpful. And I get so much feedback from you guys about people who sort of accidentally discover the podcast, which is great. You're all welcome. Thanks for listening. But I think there's a chance for us, if everybody would sort of tell one other person that this podcast is out there, I think that would be really meaningful. And it's a good chance to have change. Lots of great interviews are coming up. That is, knock on wood, if I can get them out of my backup files. Okay, there's a little bit of a nerves here, but we'll work with that as we go. But good things are happening. So I guess I'll kind of hang out in the Disney Hotel. I'll watch the fireworks because my window looks out over the park. And I'll sit here comfortably on a Monday night thinking about the world and the weather, and everything we do. But today feels pretty good to me. I mean, it was a good day. I got a chance to talk to a lot of people. But most importantly, I got a chance to tell you that story, the Jeff White story. It's a pretty good one. So I hope everybody gets what they need. That's really important to me. Learn something new every single day. Have as much fun as you possibly can. And for goodness sakes, be safe. Hi, everybody.